If you will now turn with me to Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, I'll read verses 1 through 14. Listen. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And may the Lord bless to our hearts and lives this reading and hearing of his holy and inspired word. And now let us look to God for a few moments of silent prayer. Hear our prayers, O Lord, and answer them according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The power of a focused life. Staying focused is one of the secrets of a successful life. Comedian Jay Leno says that he went to McDonald's one day and he said, "I'd like some fries." He vows and declares that the girl at the counter said, "Would you like some fries with that?" She was focused. One of the secrets of a successful life is to stay focused. The Apostle Paul is one of the most effective persons who ever lived. And today, 2,000 years after his death, his writings are being studied by millions of people all around the world. Has there ever been, except for Jesus Christ, a man whose thoughts have influenced more people than this tent maker from Tarsus? And one of Paul's secrets was the power of focus. Religiously, Paul had already achieved the essential ingredients, credentials to impress his peers. He didn't need persecutions and shipwrecks and imprisonments to validate his standing in the religious community. He was a Jew, a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews. More than that, he was a Pharisee. He not only knew the law, he practiced it religiously. In fact, he was so committed to his faith that he persecuted the early Christian church. He was focused in what he thought was the right thing to do. And yet one day, he came to see that none of those things mattered at all to him compared to his newfound faith in Jesus Christ. He then focused his life on this one endeavor, to know Christ. He writes in verse 8, "For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." A few verses later, he writes, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death." And then he sums up his intent with these words, "But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." That's focus. Paul concentrated his life on this one thing, knowing Christ and making him known. And Paul affected the lives of millions of people. Focus gives our lives power. Motivational speaker Zig Ziglar uses a marvelous image. He asked us to consider whether we are wandering generalities or meaningful specifics. In other words, are our lives focused on a few important things, or do we spread our lives too thinly, as many of us do? A good analogy is that of light. Light's a marvelous thing, comes in many forms, but light's focus and intensity determines its power. For instance, the light bulb generates light. It scatters its light all over our sanctuary. It's called incoherent light. But you take those same scattered light rays, focus them in one direction at one target, and you have a laser, which is infinitely more powerful. Paul's life had the power of a laser. And successful people have a clear understanding of what their life is about. They know where they are headed, and they have made a significant commitment to finish the journey. When comedian Jim Carrey was a struggling young actor, he wrote himself a check for $10 million. He didn't have the money, of course, but he postdated it 7 years into the future. And that check kept him focused. But more impressive is the fact that when it came due, he was able to cover it. By staying focused on his goal, he achieved great fame and success. Focus gives our lives power. What is it that you in your life really want to achieve? In your work life, in your family life, in your spiritual life? What would you like for your resume to look? How would you like for your body to look? Successful people have a picture in their mind of what they would like to achieve with their lives, and they focus their energies on that picture. Focus gives our lives power. Now, focus is power which needs to be devoted to a worthy purpose. And the secret, I believe, of Paul's great life was that he understood the power of concentration. He says in verse 13, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do." Paul said, "I'm going to give my life for one thing." And those two words, "one thing," are so important in the Bible. When the rich young ruler came to Jesus and asked him how to be saved, what was Jesus' remark? "One thing you lack." When Martha was arguing with Mary over what was really important in life, Jesus said to Martha, "One thing is needful." And David said in Psalm 27:4, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after." What was Paul seeking? He writes in verse 14, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Paul was saying so many words, "I've got one goal in my life, and I'm going to fix my life on that goal, to know Christ and to make Him known. I'm going to build my life around reaching that goal." You see, Paul had a one-track mind, and his mind was on the right track. How is it with us in the goals that we have in life? Now, many Christians are ineffective in their life because they're too involved in many things, when the secret of progress in life is to concentrate on one thing. I cannot tell you the number of times people have come to me and have said, "Well, you know, I'd like to do more for the church, but I've got too many irons in the fire." You know what I feel like saying sometimes? Either pull out some of those irons or put out the fire. You see, Paul's life was like a rifle shooting a bullet toward one target. And too many of us have lives like shotguns, putting buckshot all over the place. You see, concentration is the secret of power. If a river is allowed to overflow its banks, the area around it becomes like a swamp. But if that river is dammed and controlled, it can become a source of power. The Apostle Paul had a simple recipe for a revolution in your life, and here it is. Set the right goals in life and build your life around reaching those goals. It's a matter of values and priorities and goals and living for what matters most. Well, how can we determine what those goals are? Two quick questions. Will it get you into a deeper and more intimate relationship with God? Will it fulfill God's purpose for your life and help you accomplish something God wants you to do? And here's the good news. It's never too late to focus your life. Because of the grace of God, because of the mercy of God, and because of the forgiveness of God, it doesn't matter where you've been in your life. What matters is where you are today, where you are headed, and how you are determined to get there. A piano teacher taught many students over a lifetime career. When she got them ready for recitals, and I imagine Ruth did this also, she would encourage them to perfect the endings. And she insisted that they practice the endings of their recital piece over and over and over. And her students would grumble, "Oh, I'm getting tired. I'm just so tired of doing this, practicing the ending of this piece over and over again." She wanted them to perfect the ending. And she would answer, "You can make a mistake in the beginning. You can make a mistake in the middle. You can make a mistake somewhere else along the way. But all will be forgotten when you manage to make the ending glorious." The Apostle Paul had the power of a focused life serving Jesus Christ. And I'm sure that his last days on earth were glorious. And our challenge is to focus our lives on those priorities and those goals that are pleasing to God. In doing so, then our last days on earth will also be glorious. Amen.